Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And they go back to the basics, and Mike Allstott rumbling and close to the first down.
That's what, in my opinion, this team needed to do a long time ago. Listen to the crowd. Just take a listen. Allstott was lined up at fullback. Look at the players down in the huddle. They're clapping, patting each other. A four-yard gain or a three-yard gain by Allstott charges that everybody up in this stadium. It always has. He lowers his shoulder. He's always going to go forwards, and he's just going to bumble and stumble over people.
No matter how much the game of football continues to evolve, there is always value in what you just heard, because football is still football, and Mike Allstott played football the way we love to see football played. Zach Zaidman alongside Tom Thayer here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And if you couldn't guess by now, the six-time All-Star, Super Bowl champion, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Joliet Catholic star, Mike Allstott joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Let's get the tough question out of the way. Who was the better star at Joliet Catholic, my partner Big Tom or you?
It's always Big Tom. You know, he makes the way for all of us running backs to do what we can do. So you always got to give love to our offensive linemen. What's up, guys?
Mike,
you guys doing well?
We're doing well, Big Mike, and it's really nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes out. You know, it's kind of funny, as well as I think I know you, I go back and I read Wikipedia about you, and then they say 5.6 yards average per carry through college. So now you're at – was Purdue the best offense that you've ever played in for your career, or was it that you just ran over the Big Ten like they weren't in front of you?
You know, it's just – you know how it is, Tom. It's just opportunities, you know what I mean? And when I went to Purdue, you know, I had to prove myself. You know, they wanted to – you know, being a Joey Catholic and being a tailback, and then all of a sudden you get recruited to go, you know, play in Division One college football, which is your lifelong dream, continue your playing career, and they ask you to put your hand in the dirt, and so you have to figure out how to do it in a different way. And so, again, running the fullback belly for a year helped me prove myself a little bit, and then I got to dot the I a little bit in the big back sets, and be a little versatile between fullback and tailback, and just gave me the opportunity. And again, I'm the type of guy that I want the rock, I want the pressure, I want to be the guy to excite my team, you know, get the hard 3 yards, kind of like what we just heard, and do the little things and excite them and make the — it doesn't have to be a splash play, just, you know, get the job done in whatever fashion has to be done. So.
But, you know, Mike, then, okay, you come out of college, 5.6 yards per carry, and I always liked the Purdue offense. But then your rookie year, you come to Tampa Bay, you have 65 catches for over 500 yards. But then you never approach that number again throughout the rest of your career. Was it a change of philosophy after your rookie year, or was it something that they felt the offense was more sturdy and time-consuming with you carrying the football?
You know, I got the opportunity after my rookie year, after the 67 catches, whatever it was, you said. And then going forth, then I got to carry the ball a lot more in more of some different packages, you know, Rhino package, you know, and all that stuff. And then I had some other offense coordinators come in and say, hey, we're going to get back to that rookie year and catch the ball and do some different things. It just really never transpired. I don't know why. But it just really never happened. And just running the the Spider 2, Spider 3, or K4, K5 situation was really my pass, you know, faking the power and going into the flat and stuff like that was a big play for me. But I don't know why it didn't transpire. It just really never took place. You know, I had some years. I had, you know, 30-plus catches, 35-plus catches. But again, you know, I don't know why that didn't, you know, we have to go back. Let's go talk to those offense coordinators, I guess, right?
Yeah, call them up, Tom. Let's get them on the line. We're talking with former Tampa Bay Buccaneer fullback, former Purdue star and Joliet Catholic star Mike Alstott here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You know, it's weird. For a while there, football from an offensive standpoint in the NFL changed dramatically, where everyone seemed to be running the spread or some facet of that. And yet, if you go back to this past season, we saw some more old-fashioned type of football being played, and a couple of teams went far in the playoffs running a style that I think would suit you quite well, whether it was what transpired with Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers going to the Super Bowl and the huge run that the Tennessee Titans had. Do you think because defenses are now being constructed to stop the spread that there's going to be a cycle back to the kind of power football that you were used to when you played?
I do. I think, you know, each offensive coordinator or head coach has their different philosophy, kind of like Kyle. Kyle was a GA when we were going through our times with, you know, with Gruden and stuff like that. He was making the playbooks, doing all that, you know, and getting himself in the league, and just went up the chain. But he stuck with his philosophy and his beliefs and stuff like that. And he has his other offensive coordinators maybe coming from college. They don't even know spreads and stuff. But, you know, before I came in the league, you know, you had the Warren Moon and all those guys that were doing the, you know, sling and shoot and stuff like that. And it did transpire back into, you know, smash mouth football type of football. And I think you'll have it. I don't think you'll have, you know, the whole league doing it, but I think they'll have their different packages and different ways to do it. But, you know, it saddens me a little bit. It does, because you know what? We always, you know, the game is set up by the run. I really truly believe that. Sorry. I'm in down Jefferson Street right now, Tommy. So
he's in the neighborhood.
Pumping gas in my rental and returning my rental. But but again, you know, I think it'll all transpire. It comes full circle, and I think you'll see it. And especially when you know, everybody's it's a copycat league, right? So, you know, you see Kyle Shanahan doing it. You see some other, you know, Tennessee doing it and stuff like that. And they're in the playoffs. They're going far in the playoffs, and they want to get back to that. So, you know, again, you'll have different coordinators that have it at different systems.
You know, I don't know if I would ask this question, but you said copycat league, and you kind of got a cat this year on his ninth life down in Tampa, Tom Brady. How you know, Mike, you were in Tampa at its heyday, Super Bowl champions. You guys played the Bears twice a day. I saw Tampa Stadium rocking like some of the loudest, hottest stadiums in the NFL. Okay, insert Tom Brady here with Bruce Arians. How is that momentum down there? I know we're going through a weird scenario with the virus and everything, but the anticipation of the season, is it just absolutely off the charts down there?
It is. It is, and, you know, there's not a lot. You don't hear about it, and it's not being written, but, you know, obviously I know everybody in the organization, and, you know, they're selling tickets like hotcakes, but, you know, the Buccaneers are not going to sit there and publicize it and stuff like that, because obviously there's a lot of different worries in our world right now. But again, yeah, seats are being, you know, again, we're going to have a packed house. Tom Brady, obviously, you know, what he's doing, and, you know, being in the championship game with the Super Bowl in the last, you know, 10 years, you know, every year, and then coming here and believing in the Buccaneers and Buccaneers, you know, system, and want to finish this career here, and then bringing Gronk. I mean, they're hot right now. We got a good nucleus of guys that have been around for a little while and doing some good things. And then you have Tom Brady come and solidify it and say, you know what, this is a strong team. And, you know, I just, you know, with all this stuff going on, and I hope it all gets back to, you know, normal. And when it comes to these guys getting back on the field and getting back to the sports world a little bit more.
You know, in your era that you went through, you know, you had some pretty popular teammates, Derek Brooks, Warren Sapp, Warwick Dunn, Rondae Barber, all these types
Lynch,
of players.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that you gravitated to? Because Zach and I were talking about how interesting locker rooms are in professional sports, and football is a little bit different because there's so many guys. But who was the guy that you either gravitated to as a young guy, or, you know, was your sounding board when you were with Tampa?
Young guy, you know, first of all, it was Trent Dilfer out the bat, right? You know, come in, you know, rookie minicamp or the first minicamp that we had, and he's taking me to Lightning games, right? You know, Lightning games in the playoffs, playing the Flyers, sitting next to Pete Sampras and stuff like that. I'm like, whoa. You know, I just get to Tampa, you know, 24 hours ago. But, you know, Lynchy, you know, John Lynch is a, you know, great friend, great mentor. You know, Dave Moore, you know, just guys have been in the league for 4 or 5 years already. And, but it wasn't, we didn't have a split locker room. And Tampa had that day, and probably a lot of your teams, Tommy, with, that's what I miss, is the locker room. We've bonded. Everybody knew the role. Everybody knew who spoke. You know, I was a leader by my actions. Weight room, getting in there, doing my thing, putting extra work in, making the hard plays. I wasn't, you know, dog cussing people out and doing what and everything. You know what I mean? The locker room took care of that. When we were in a locker room, you weren't doing your job. You know what? There's certain guys that Brooksy, you know, was the guy. Hey, we had team meetings and stuff like that. You know, Sapp kind of just sit back, but he would express his feelings amongst individuals. You know what I mean? You know, yes. Rondé Barber had his own little clout of, you know, he had his DB room and all that stuff as he came about. You know, Lynch is the same way. Lynch, you know, developed the back end of the defense, you know. So everybody had the role. Lynch and Rondé had the back half of defense. The DBs, obviously, you had obviously, you know, Brooks and even Shelton Quarles. You know what I mean? Everybody forgets about Shelton, but he played there for 9-10 years with us during that run. And he was the middle linebacker, and you had the Will linebacker Brooks, and then obviously you had Sapp and Simeon Rice, but you know, and all those guys on the, you know, on the defensive line, and then you know, we had our guys. You know, we had Keyshawn. Our wide receiver. You know, we had JoJo Vish, we had McCardle as our wide receivers. Right? You didn't have to tell those guys. Keyshawn. People don't know this, but Keyshawn never took a practice play off. Never. He was in there every time. He practiced as hard as he played. And then, you know, we had, you know, during our Super Bowl run, we had Brad Johnson, freaking unbelievable guy. And then you had me, Michael Pittman. We just had a cluster of guys that knew their role, what to do, how to do it. And nobody got mad, you know, if I was carrying the ball well, Michael Pittman, he understood. You know, Michael Pittman had 130 yards in the Super Bowl, right? Plus, you know, 130-something yards in the Super Bowl. But I was lead block for him. I'm ecstatic, right? And all that stuff. He knew when it was goal line, I was coming in. He wasn't getting mad. You know what I mean? We had unselfish guys, and it was just a team that just loved being around with each other. The locker room was great, and I had many years of that. And the years that we were losing to Philadelphia for so many years going up to that, you know what? We were so, you know, pissed off and angry going into the offseason. We worked even harder, and you know what? And we fed off each other during our workouts, during our OTAs, during our individual, you know, all that stuff, and just put the work in. And I'm just grateful to play for Tampa for 12 years and to be there in that community and do all the things that I get to do with the community and my family and whatnot. But it all started, you know, Joey Catholic, going to Purdue, and then, you know, a lifelong dream of obviously playing in the NFL. But I just want to say, you know, I think I just, you know, hard work and effort. I wasn't the most talented guy. I wasn't. It was just hard work, a lot of heart, a lot of passion, a lot of want. You know what I mean? It was a big dream. So.
You know, that you list this team off. It's a who's who of NFL celebrities and all-stars. Are you surprised that John Gruden came back to coach after being around that group of guys that you guys brought, delivered him a Super Bowl? Were you surprised that he took that time off and came back?
No, I thought he'd come back a lot sooner. John, you know, I always say John, his presentation, his X and O's, his mind of the offense and stuff like that is what he did and how he illustrated and how he showed you a game plan and how passionate he was about it. And I was shocked he took, I don't know how many years off, but again, you know, he's back in it doing his thing, but I don't know. You're Monday Night Football making, I don't know what, $5-7 million. I mean, maybe it's hard to get back in the game too. You know what I mean?
So, yes.
No question about it. Mike Alstadt is our guest here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It wasn't just the fact that at Tampa you got to play with a whole bunch of star NFL players. There were some star coaches. I mean, Tom, think about these names. Obviously, Tony Dungy and John Gruden were primarily the head coaches during your time there. But look at all the assistants who went on to big things in the NFL. You talked about Kyle Shanahan. Mike Tomlin was there briefly as an assistant. Herman Edwards, Lovie Smith was there. I mean, they had their act together in Tampa during the time that you were playing.
Yeah, no, you named all the guys off. You know, one of my favorites, Rich Bisacci. You know what I mean? You know, he's been special teams coach and running back coach, and he's been there ever since John brought him in. But again, you want to talk about a guy, a mentor, a guy that I love and stuff like that. And he's been trying to get in a head job in college ranks and stuff like that. But he was at Dallas, you know, for a little bit stint after us, and then. When he's in Oakland, back with Oakland now. But, you know, we had a bunch of guys that were just unbelievable. And like you mentioned them pretty much all, you know, and what they're doing right now. But that's what, you know, everybody has their tree, right? Everybody has their tree, you know, of their coaches that they grew up with and where they got mentored and coached with, and then they get their opportunity. And then you have the Dungy tree, you know, you named all those guys, Lovey, Tomlin, Joe Barry being a defensive coordinator, you know, at a lot of places since then, you know, they got their opportunity and they were believing. And, but again, they're using the same type of philosophy that Dungy or Gruden, you know, have used and stuff like that. And you see it all across the league. But again, you know, it's the family atmosphere. It's the, you know, nobody stabbed each other in the back, you know, and stuff like that. That's why they're in the league, because they're trusted. You know what I mean? Because if they have to get a new job, they can get one in a heartbeat because they're good.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Hey, Mike, what's it like being the father of a football player? Because your son is a dual-threat quarterback now at Western Michigan. Is it tougher for you when you watch his games than it was for you when you were playing, because you can't control what happens on the field when he's out there?
Yeah, you're awesome. Yeah, no. Now, remember, I came out, and he started playing when he was in sixth grade. And he was a baseball player. And he's like, hey, Dad, I want to play football. Well, you got to understand, Little League football, you practice 2 hours every night, and then you play one-hour games, right? In baseball, you practice the first couple weeks, and then you go to hitting practice, and then you play tournaments, and you're playing tournaments and tournaments and tournaments, right? And I kind of knew the style of kid he was, and didn't like to get hit too much and stuff like that. But he went to quarterback. He had a great arm and stuff like that. And so he played six. I actually wanted to sit in the lawn chair and just watch him, but I got frustrated because of all the fathers that couldn't coach and what they were doing and stuff. So I kind of got on the field a little bit, and then I coached in sixth and seventh grade, and then I took a high school job when he was in eighth grade. And I'm still doing that now at Northside Christian. But and then I left him when he was in eighth grade. Obviously, I couldn't coach him, but I knew he was coming to me. And then his high school career was unbelievable. We had a JV team. We had a JV team, and they got to play five games in JV, and I brought all those guys up. And that's when we started our little run at that school. And he was a three-and-a-half-year starter, and got to live his dream, and went to Purdue the first year, and then we transferred to Western Michigan. And you know, it's great. No, it's hard. It's hard to watch. It's hard to not have the control. When I was on the field, I would get more emotion than I ever did in any game that I ever played. It was just the butterflies, the jitters, you know, not having the control and stuff like that. But, you know, dream come true. You know, I want him to experience that team atmosphere. I want him to experience that hard work ethic, you know, of, you know, being together and accomplishing as one. You know, in that team, but and he's doing that now, and he, you know, loves his teammates, and we love going to watch them and playing. But it is tough sitting in the stands and watching.
Well, what's life like down in Tampa Bay for you outside of the dealings that you have with your family? How do you occupy your time?
You know, coach, just coaching a lot. You know, obviously during this pandemic, it's been kind of just sitting around twiddling your thumbs. You don't know when it's going to happen, but we're actually going to open up Monday. You know, we're going to be starting workouts on Monday and getting back in the swing of things. And I think, you know, Florida's been a little bit different than, you know, I'm here in Chicago now. It's a lot different than Chicago. And maybe some other states. I was in Michigan two nights ago with my son in his apartment, and there's nobody open in Michigan. But we're going to, you know, Florida's opening up a little bit more, and we're going to get back into doing our workouts and be able to do some different things. Obviously, we have some restrictions, but, you know, it feels good that obviously getting back in the field and just mentoring my kids and coaching them. And, you know, I've missed my players and stuff like that. I miss being on the field with them and doing that stuff. And again, I just hope everybody has that opportunity, you know, and we get to see football being played and these other sports because our young generation needs it.
Yeah, especially with what's transpiring in the climate this past week alone with the pandemic and the protests. Our final few moments here with former Buccaneers fullback Mike Alstott here on The Score. So a couple of weeks ago, Tom and I visited with Terry Gannon here on the show. And I bring that up because when it comes to former Joliet stars that have been able to make it, what's your advice for any young kid that's in Joliet right now that anything is possible? And my guess is it starts with what you talked about earlier, the work ethic, the kids that want to be the next Mike Alstott, Tom Thayer, Terry Gannon, and all those other greats that came from Joliet.
It's the heart. It's the heart. You know, it's the commitment. It's the sacrifice. When you... It's not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. And if you really want it, you'll put everything, every blood, sweat, and tear into it. And Tommy knows it. You know, I did it. I rode my bike when I couldn't drive to the gym, you know, 5 miles, you know, to get a workout in and do all the little things. And all the little things when I was behind the scenes, when you're not around the coach, when the coach doesn't tell you, you know, okay, be here at 7, all right, you're done at 9, and that's the only time you put in. You have to put more time in. You have to dedicate yourself. You have to, you know, your mind, your body. You have to train yourself. You have to prepare yourself. And you know what? It's just not, you know, when the coach says it. You have to do it all the time. And that's the only thing I get frustrated sometimes in our world of our young generation is, you know, they think they're getting a workout in when they're really, yeah, they're getting a workout in, but what are they doing, you know, after it? Are they, you know, between their nutrition and everything like that, you know, and stuff. But it's just trying to train these kids that want that dream. You know, they say they want it, but mentally can they handle it when it really comes down to it?
Well, Mike, you know, everything you've done on the football field, I think it pales in comparison to what you're doing for the kids of the Florida area that you live in. And I'm excited that we had a chance to talk and get you on the air. You know, I kind of enjoy the Joliet people that we've had a chance to talk to, but we admire you for what you've been able to accomplish and what you're doing now in Tampa. And you know, I know you're gonna be maybe the second most popular guy for a year, but you'll be right back on top after Brady does his thing.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for Tampa. You know, Tampa's you know, they've been trying hard for quite some time now. I just haven't been able to put it together, and I get it. You know, I was blessed to come in at a time in 96, you know, still wearing the orange and white, and I got to experience that and, you know, experience the up and downs and, you know, the fans and their frustration. But again, you put a product in there, you work hard for them, you put it out there on the gridiron. I mean, they will love you. They will love you. And again, and then if you get in the community and do stuff for them and stuff like that, you know, they'll embrace you. And you know, I'm happy that things are starting to get exciting a little bit for him now. And, you know, hopefully everything comes together.
Mike, thank you so much. Stay safe. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Hey, let me know anytime. I'll be on there. All right?
See you, buddy.
I appreciate
you got it.
Guys.
Take care. Former Tampa Bay, Purdue, and Joliet Catholic star Mike Alstott spending some time with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.